This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Space. Unquestionably, it is the handiwork of a supreme being. How would God reveal this awesome power on Earth? It is Jesus Christ who manifested this immense power by means of the many miracles he conducted throughout the course of his ministry. Stay with us as we explain how this was done on today's edition of the Armor of God.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Charles Gross.
Hello and welcome to this program, The Armor of God. We're really delighted to have you with us today. We want to invite you to find your Bibles, if you can, and follow along with us as we study a very important topic today. The Church of God International is responsible for teaching what is in this book. Part of what is in here is a message that, to some degree, most quote-unquote Christian people are very familiar with. But underneath that, there are certain elements of truth that are very, very important to understanding the true Jesus Christ, His message, His testimony, and what it is He expects of you. I would like to take a little bit of a journey here, a brief journey in the time we have here today with you to discuss God's power. You might say, well, I'm already familiar with that, and I hope you are. I hope you are quite familiar with the Holy Spirit, with God's power, God's nature, His energy, if you will, how it is that He made this unbelievable universe. What is it that's all around us, and what is it that God can do for you? And this will also presuppose we must answer what it is that we are expected to do to please God. This past weekend, I had the privilege of being among a group of people. They were of ethnic differences. There were men and women. They were from different parts of this North American continent. And as I sat in fellowship with them, I thought to myself, this is really amazing what I have experienced here today. And what I experienced was the power of God, the presence of God, the Spirit of God. And it's not that we don't have that happen frequently. It's just sometimes it really is more meaningful, perhaps like the event on Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, when God's Holy Spirit was actually given to man for the very first time. It was a remarkable event. You know, the day of Pentecost, which begs the question, why is it today the churches don't keep the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was given to the church, the New Testament church, and the church began? That's a topic for another time, but at least we can say that the presence of God was evident that day in a remarkable way. Today, Christian people caught up with the misapplication and the misunderstanding of God and His power. They try to imitate that experience, the tongues of fire, the speaking in languages, although they speak in gibberish, which is not biblical at all if you really study into it. But what does it mean to have the very presence and power of God? And to do that, I must talk about the great power of the Almighty God, the one that made this universe, the one that made you and made me. Probably the greatest source of unexplainable power that you and I are familiar with every single day is what we saw when we got up this morning, when we looked out our window, looked to the east, and we saw the sun. You know, the sun is it's enormous. And you think about, how in the world did that come about? Well, the answer is quite simple. God made the sun, the earth, the moon, all that we know, the entire universe. But I wonder if we're really familiar with just how big and powerful, how hot the sun is. I'm not sure I even know how hot it is, except I know it's really, really hot. Do you know how long it takes light to get to us from the sun? Just a little interesting fact. I used to be a science aficionado, and I remember these types of things, although I was reminded here. It takes over 8.5 minutes for light traveling at 186,000 miles per second to get to us from the sun. 8.5 minutes. Do you know how far the sun, which is just one little orb in this unbelievable universe, do you know how far the sun is from the center of our Milky Way, which is just a small part of all that we see in the heavens when we look outward at night is 26 to 28,000 light years away, this great big huge presence that gives us light and gives us heat. Well, I can read here that the sun is hot, and I'll just say this, it is very, very hot, a lot hotter than anything that you and I are familiar with. So today I want to invite you to consider God's power, but not just the heat and the light. I want you to consider how it is that God's presence can be in you, because that is the ultimate power. And the people I was with this weekend had the presence of God, and you could sense it. It was evident. And it's a kind of power that changes we human beings for the better. It makes a society better, our communities better, our world much better. But as we begin, I'd like to introduce to you the items we have today that we'd like for you to request. We have a booklet and a CD. We have a booklet entitled The Awesome Power of God, which deals with much of what I'm going to be covering today, which are the signs mentioned in the Gospel of John. They're not called miracles or wonders, but they're called signs because everyone's interested in a sign. And each one of them gives testimony to the power of God Almighty. And in this particular example, what Jesus Christ was able to do. So the booklet is The Awesome Power of God. And then there's a CD we'd like to ask you to write for, request. You'll want to listen to it several times. It's a special sermon given by Mr. Vance Stinson entitled The Supra-Dimensional God. You can obtain these materials by calling our toll-free number 1-888-578-8791. You'll see that at the bottom of our screen here, so you can read it and follow through by calling. Again, it's absolutely free of charge. Or you can check our website, www.cgi.org. You can find our way to our material and some of the television programs that we present each week. Now, let's come back and visit the subject of God's power. Do you want to have God's power or not? You probably do, but, you know, in a world that's consumed with signs, and we want things like the dividing of the Red Sea or the standing or withholding back the rotation of the earth around the sun, something dramatic. What is it that God promises to give to us today? We know He gives the Holy Spirit. What is it? Well, if you check the New Testament example, the words that are given for God's power, it comes with authority, power, meaning the dynamic energy that comes with something that's alive, and also the word energy, which I think we connote to be, you know, you're sort of energetic. There's also a Hebrew word for it, which is just plain simply power. I'm not going to spend a lot of time examining each and every one of those words. I think you get the idea. If you know someone who's energetic, they're filled with something. It comes out of them, and it transformed them from being just complacent and laid back, and all of a sudden there's some energy, there's some motion, there's something going on, there's some drive about them. I'd like for us to consider God's miracles today and what it is that He can do for you, and much of what we're going to talk about, He's going to do at some time again in the future because He is the God of the universe. I was giving you the statistics about the sun. Well, you know, God made the sun. He made that great, big, huge light that we depend upon for our heat and light every single day. And He's made this entire universe. And perhaps most importantly for us, He made you and me, our families. And He's concerned about you. He's concerned about all of us. Let's consider what God did, the very power of God, the wonders that He was able to perform. And we're going to take a look at a couple of them as we have opportunity here in our brief time together. The first one I'd like to start with is in the Gospel of John, John chapter 2. Most of you will be familiar with this. This is, although there is some controversy associated with it, this is that occasion when Jesus turned water into wine. Turned water into wine. Some people say He turned it into grape juice. No. Check it out, study it out a little bit. He did actually turn the water into wine, and you can see that from the context here. Let me just read a few of these verses and ask you this. What is it then that Jesus had to do to accomplish this sign? The sign of what He could do, what God can do. You know the story here. It was a wedding event. Jesus was called in verse 2, His disciples, to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, Jesus' mother said to Him, "Well, they don't have any wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what have I to do with you? Mine hour is not come." And His mother said to the servants, "Listen, whatsoever He asks of you, please do it. Do it without question." Now notice this in verse 6. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone. Now, these water pots were fairly sizable, and you put them all together, they probably held about 135 gallons of fluid. That's a lot of water. That's also a lot of wine. What they were most likely used for is, as people came in, the ceremonial cleansing and, you know, just other uses for water. But however they were emptied, 6 of them. And it says in verse 7, Jesus said to them, I want you to fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim, and he said to them, draw them out and bear them unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. And I think you know the rest of the story. It was a premium wine. Now, the only reason why I wanted to begin with this is because it comes first in the signs presented to us by John. But also think for just a moment. Just think a moment now. If I had a flask or a glass of or a bottle of wine or water here in front of you, could you change it into wine? I don't believe you could. I know I couldn't. But let's think about what it is that would have been involved in changing that water into wine. And this is the power of the universe. 1 minute you've got only molecular water, just water, H2O. And the next minute you've got this delicious premium quality wine. All right, now, God made the sun. God made the earth, the soil. God made the vines. God created the seasons of the year. He did all of that, so God knows how to bring about through the natural laws of this earth that He set in motion from the beginning. He knew how to grow wine. But in this particular instance, just like that, unseen to anyone, Jesus changed. Now listen, this is the power of God. Changed the molecular makeup of water and changed it into wine. That's what God can do. God can work with the laws of nature in a way you and I really cannot comprehend. Now, the reason why that's important is, what can God do for you? What can't God change if you have His power and His presence? Now, let's consider just a couple more pages over in John chapter 4. This is a matter of a healing, rather significant. John chapter 4, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 46 here. John 4 and verse 46. So Jesus came again unto Cana of Galilee, where He had done the miracle of the wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to Him, and he besought Him that He would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So there's a lot of thought that we have to put into this. Here is a man of authority who apparently walked a fairly good distance, many miles, to find Jesus. He asked Jesus to go back and to heal his son, as if Jesus had to be there to lay hands upon his son. And of course, we know today that that's not necessarily required. Though we might like it, it's not required. His son was close to death. Then Jesus said to him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And the nobleman said unto Him, sir, come down here, come down, ere my son or child will die. And Jesus said to him, will you go your way? Your son lives. Again, just like that. We learned that miracles can be performed by the great God of this universe that defy our ability to fully grasp. Now, the reason why I wanted to bring this out is because some of us in the audience today, some of you who are listening, you are in need of healing, either for yourself, or you have a sick child, or you have an aunt or an uncle, you have a parent, you have someone that you know, and they need healing. I think there are many misconceptions about what God does with the gift, the power of healing, and we minimize it. And because we minimize it, we don't have the healings that we need. We do not have the presence and the power of God in our life the way we ought to, but we can. So I'm appealing to you to try to grasp the degree to which you understand the awesome power of God, because we tend to take it very much for granted. You know the story here. This young man was healed. Verse 53, it says, so the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said to himself, your son lives, and himself believed in his whole house. So we had a miracle, we had a man who was converted, who believed, and then his whole family believed. And this is, as we see in verse 54, the second miracle, the second sign that Jesus did. I'd like you to consider the third one, because this is significant as well. Just a page over in John chapter 5, We have the healing of a man who had been sick for 38 years, a long, long time. He was blind, he was lame, and he was paralyzed. Apparently, if you read the text, he didn't have too many friends because he couldn't get anyone to carry him down to the pool, or we might even say perhaps for year after year after year he had tried, but to no avail, and so people just weren't there for him any longer. Let's read the story in John chapter 5 and verse 3. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, the blind, the halted, the withered, waiting for the moving of the water, which is a phenomenal occurrence. People today look for similar miracles, but to my knowledge, there has not been, nor is there any similar miracle taking place today that's this visible. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And so here was this man who had this infirmity for 38 long years. And Jesus saw him lying there, and he knew that he had been there a long time. And he said to him, "Will you be made whole?" And what I find interesting here is that this man did not ask for Jesus to heal him. Jesus came to him and asked him if he would like to be made whole. The impotent man answered and said, "Sir," he says, "I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." And he said, "I can't get into the pool first of all." Then Jesus said to him very succinctly, specifically, he said, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." How long did it take before the healing? And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath day. Question. Think about this miracle. There was a man who was lame. He couldn't walk. He was paralyzed. And all of a sudden, he's told to get up and walk. Think about all the atrophied muscles. Muscles that he hadn't used for year after year after year after year. And molecularly, the flesh, I don't know how it was done, but all of a sudden, muscles that hadn't been used could be walked upon. Bones that maybe had withdrawn were the right length. The sinews that were no longer of any value at all or were what they should be. Just think about how that happened. God performed a miracle that defies my ability to fully grasp, except I know it and I believe it because this is the God who made the sun, the universe, and all that we know, made me, made my kids, made the creatures, made all the things that I enjoy. He is the power, the awesome power of God. He is not to be mitigated nor marginalized in any way. We must understand what it is He is, first of all, that He exists, and what it is that He can do for us. I would like to take a look at another miracle, and this is the feeding of the multitudes. Fascinating here in John chapter 6 and verses 5 through 15. John chapter 6, verses 5 through 15. Here we read that Jesus, therefore, perceived that they would come and take Him by force to make Him a king. And that was not why Jesus had come to this earth. He had not come to be made a king. So He departed again into a mountain Himself alone, and when evening was come, His disciples went down to the sea. And He entered into a ship, and He went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. This is the example of a miracle. I skipped ahead one. Pardon me. This is where Jesus actually works a miracle with His own disciples and shows them what He has power over. So let's just read this. Sorry to mislead you there just a little bit, but let's come back to the verses here. So the disciples were off on this lake, and they were frightened because of the storm. Jesus had been off by Himself after He had fed the thousands in the preceding verses, and all of a sudden then they're scared, and we will pick it up here in verse 18. The sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew, and so when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near to the ship. They were afraid. But He said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they were willingly received Him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land where they went. Now, the reason why this miracle is important is for a number of reasons. Look at how Jesus had control over the elements that you and I fear to some degree. You know, we have hurricanes, we have earthquakes, we have all sorts of violence, we have tsunamis. And yet Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, has that kind of power that He can calm the seas. The disciples had to learn that lesson, unfortunately. They still doubted, and they had to see other things that Jesus could do, the works of God. Now, I would like you to see something in John chapter 6, a little bit farther on. This is in verse 28. Very important question I want to ask you here. What is the work of God? What is the very work of God? People ask that a lot. Verse 28, then said they to him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said to them, now listen, this is the work of God. You want to know what to do the work of God? Believe. Believe on him who he has sent. You know, a lot of people, they don't believe in the miracles of God. So why don't we just take the Bible and just throw it away? If they don't believe in miracles, then everything that Jesus Christ said in here is not true. It's not valid. So there's no validation for what I'm talking to you about today. Well, Jesus said, this is the very work. If you want to do a work, then you believe on him who he has sent. Then in verse 30, then they said to him, well, what sign do you show then that we might see and believe what you do and your work? And Jesus went on to teach them and to show them that he, in fact, was the very, very bread of life, which was the lesson behind him feeding the hungry, mentioned earlier in John chapter 6. I'd like to skip ahead to the seventh miracle, the seventh sign talked about here in the Gospel of John, John chapter 11. Very important for us to consider. The power of God. Again, most of you are probably familiar with this. This is John chapter 11. This was with Lazarus. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus, and we had quite a family here where we had Martha and Mary, sisters of Lazarus. Jesus loved Lazarus. Lazarus died. Jesus tarried. He did not go to his side until Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. That's what it tells us in verse 17. You read through the story. I won't go through it verse by verse except to tell you that Jesus performed a miracle. He said, Lazarus, come out of that tomb. Lazarus came out of the tomb. Jesus performed an unbelievable miracle. You might ask, well, what does that have to do then with what we're talking about? This. Jesus is the resurrection. That's the kind of power he represents. He is life. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you believe in the power of God? You say, well, sure I do. All right. Well, are you keeping his commandments? Are you obeying his laws? Are you trying to do those things that are pleasing in his sight? What is the evidence that you believe? Is it enough just to be awed and to appreciate? And that's important, but there has to be a little bit more than that, doesn't it? Doesn't there? No, if you believe, then you are going to conduct life in such a way that the Spirit of God will not only be available to you, it will be in you, and it will perform unbelievable changes in your life. I'm going to talk to you what I think is probably one of the greatest miracles of all as we close out our time here together today. All the unbelievable things we talked about, walking on water, feeding the multitudes, changing water into wine and so forth, those are phenomenal. Those are unbelievable miracles. Do you know what is, if you allow me to put it this way, the greatest miracle of all? It's when God can change a human heart. Changing a human heart. Going a certain direction in life. Yes, being hard as flint or steel. And then all of a sudden being softened, being changed, and the truth can be understood. An individual can understand who Jesus Christ is, his testimony, his message, and his witness. He repents, he changes, he is no longer conformed to this world, and he begins to walk a different way in this life. He is a different person. Then you open yourself up to the very resurrection itself and to Jesus Christ, who is the source of life. There's a miracle, again, most of you are familiar with. And I wanted to just mention this as we wrap up our time. Jesus uses ordinary things with ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Do you remember that event back involving Moses? When Moses just had a staff, a crook. It might have been 3 to 6 feet in length, probably slender, curved at the top to herd the sheep. And all of a sudden, when he was before Pharaoh and his magicians, remember he cast it down and it turned into a serpent? Remember that story? What I learned by that is God can use anyone, any way, to do extraordinary things. And he can do that with you, and he can do that with me as well. You have available to you the very power of God. That is God's Holy Spirit. You need it. you want it. Study it. Consider it. You can become what you are not, but you must drink in God's knowledge. You must understand His truth. You must understand His power, the power of the universe that made all that is can dwell inside of you. And you can belong to Him, and He will do what He can do for you, which is change you from a mortal to an immortal being at His second coming. Remember this verse in Isaiah 51? Maybe this is the greatest miracle of all. David said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me." So it's a delight to be in the presence of people who understand and exhibit the very power of God Almighty. And those are the individuals that have God's Holy Spirit. You can have it. If you don't, seek it, acquire it, and let God's power be demonstrated in you.
Charles today mentioned to all of us that our God is an awesome God. He reminded us that the universe is mind-boggling. The size and the scope of it is overwhelming and in some respects, frankly, incomprehensible. There are multiple billions of stars, solar systems, and galaxies beyond Earth that are measured not in miles, but are measured in the distance by light years. God's power created all of this. And Charles showed us today how Jesus Christ's ministry translated that power so that we, on the human level, could appreciate it by virtue of the miracles that He exhibited and manifested. The changing of water into wine. The healing of a lame man. Finally, he could walk. The issue of a blood disease that a woman had, upon touching his hem, she was healed. The eyes of a blind man were able to see. And friend of his, a friend, Lazarus, and a little girl raised from the dead. Amazing feats, my friends, illustrating this very power that created the universe is also a powerful, powerful dynamic element that we on the human level can benefit from too, which ultimately will result in the changing of these vile bodies into something called immortal. Won't you let us help you to better understand that? Dial now, 888-578-8791, and get the CD offer that we are presenting here today for your consideration and obtaining. It's titled Supra-Dimensional God by Van Stinson, available only now on CD. Remember, no cassette tapes any longer. And the literature piece, Awesome Power of God. Both are available free of charge. All you've got to do is dial 888-578-8791 and let the operator know you want these two free offers. Friends, this is Bill Watson reminding all of you to keep on that armor of God.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.